I'd like to turn this morning to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and chapter 16. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans and chapter 16, and the verses that I'd like to read this morning are found in verse 3 to the beginning of verse 5. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 16, the last chapter, and reading verse 3, 4, and the beginning of verse 5, where we find these words: "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Well, this morning I'd like us to consider these words, in particularly the word that we find there in verse 3, "my helpers in Christ Jesus." And I want us to ask the question, are we fellow workers in Christ? We all know what a good role model is. If we have godly parents, our parents are good role models for us in the Christian life. And we remember in Proverbs 1, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Well, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is that perfect role model for the believer, that perfect example. But we notice here that the Apostle Paul is pointing out two role models for believers. He gives them this title of "my helpers," my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Now, there are a number mentioned in this closing letter, this closing chapter. A number of different people that are later on mentioned. We never had time to read through it. But we can see that here Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned as helpers. And in verse 21, we also notice Timotheus, my helper. And back in verse 9, Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned very positively here as co-workers and laborers together in the ministry of Christ. Now, they, to some degree, were what we might call behind-the-scenes workers. And it's wonderful in churches where you've got those who are not seeking the limelight, but they are workers behind the scenes. They're not drawing attention to themselves. It's not just for their interest or for their profit that they do things, but they are doing them for Christ. And so here is an example for us to look at this morning. I'd like us to consider Priscilla and Aquila. And you might say, well, if you're a single person, what has this got to do with me? We're talking about a couple, a Christian couple here. Well, really, if we're not married, then our responsibilities are often less. And in a sense, those things that we noticed this morning that Priscilla and Aquila teach us apply even more so to us if we are single. Well, who were Priscilla and Aquila? Well, the first thing that we learn about them was found there in Acts 18 and verse 2, that they were a Jewish couple. He found a certain Jew in Acts 18, 2, named Aquila. Certainly, Aquila is described as a Jew. Luke was the writer here, and he was very careful when he wrote his Acts of the Apostles and his gospel to be very precise. If Aquila at this time was a Christian, he would probably have said a certain disciple, a certain believer was found who'd come from Pontus, lately come from Italy, sorry, and had come down to Corinth. And so it seems very likely that at this point, when Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, they were not believers. They were a Jewish couple. And he'd come from Pontus, it says here, Aquila had, which is in northeastern part of Turkey today. And he'd married Priscilla, and possibly she would come from Rome, it's not certain, but for a time they'd certainly lived in Italy, perhaps in Rome or near Rome, and they'd had to come because in verse 2 we notice that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And we find in the history books, Suetonius, the Roman historian, records that because all the Jews were constantly in riots, probably agitated by the spreading of the gospel and attacking Christians, then the emperor Claudius banished them from Rome in AD 49. They suddenly had to leave their home and their business as tent makers and escape to Corinth. And so it was that this couple who attended the synagogue, who were steeped in the scriptures, in the providence of God, they came to Corinth just as the Apostle Paul was arriving. God meant it for their good, for their eternal good, that in his providence he would meet with Paul, and Paul would come to stay with them. And because Paul was of the same craft as a tent maker, perhaps looking for work as he arrived in Corinth so that he wouldn't be chargeable to the believers, then he longed to find work as a tent maker, and he came across Aquila in the providence of God. And so it's very likely that in conversation with them, maybe they were Christians before they arrived, but it seems likely that through the instrumentality of the Apostle Paul, they came to faith in Christ. They learnt that Christ was that promised Messiah who fulfilled all the types and the shadows of the law. And they came to trust their souls to him, to believe that he died on the cross for their sins. What a wonderful transformation took place in the life of Priscilla and Aquila. What joy they knew as they trusted Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and rested in him as the hope of all Israel. And so the Lord laid his hand upon this couple, and they came to such a fervent faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall see something of their faith together as we look on. But this is the first thing then. They were a Jewish couple, and yet in the providence of God, they came to know the Apostle Paul in very strange and difficult circumstances for them personally. And maybe this morning we've come here and we've looked at our circumstances and we cannot work out what's going on. And we look around us and we say we just have no idea what the Lord is doing. Perhaps that's what Priscilla and Aquila felt like as they had to leave their home in Rome and move or flee, we might say, to Corinth. And yet, oftentimes, when we cannot comprehend what's happening, oftentimes, the Lord is at work. Something is being done for the kingdom. We may not be able to understand what's happening in our life this morning, but often, by God's grace, our circumstances, if we're one of his, are used for our good. And we can look back one day and we can see, perhaps Priscilla and Aquila were able to look back with joy and thank God that they were caused to leave Rome, all the upheaval, all the anxiety, all the fears, all the doubts, all the worries, for their business, for their home, for their future. It was all bound up and tied up together, and yet they could look back and they could bless the hand that guided and bless the heart that planned. And so will all God's people be able to rejoice in his providential care of them. Well, we move on here and we see the second place, that they were a united couple. In the New Testament, they're mentioned six times. We find their names, and always they're mentioned together. And this is quite wonderful. Oftentimes, it's Priscilla that comes first, and then Aquila, and then in reverse, Aquila and Priscilla. And yet it doesn't matter. They were always together because they had such a union, one with another. They had a deep spiritual union with each other and with Christ. And it shows us their love, not only for one another, but also for the Lord. They wanted to labor together in the cause of Jesus Christ. And this was what the Apostle Paul was commending them for. Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, perhaps Priscilla was more gifted, more devoted, more zealous than Aquila, we're not told. Sometimes she's mentioned first, though. She was a woman of godliness and spirituality and zeal. And sometimes it's the case that the wife is more zealous and godly and fervent than the husband. But surely that should make husbands in those circumstances even more concerned to be closer with the Lord. If their wife is ahead of them in spiritual things, she's more prayerful, she's more concerned for the cause of the gospel. Oh, but they were together. They were united in Jesus Christ. And young people, if there are any among you this morning who are not married, seek such a union, to be united together in the cause of Christ. That's a true union. And what an example we have here of this godly Christian couple who were laborers together for the cause of Christ. And so be determined with the Lord's help. If you marry, you will marry in the Lord. That you will be like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Tells us in Luke 1 of John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were a godly couple, both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Oh, Aquila loved his wife. He loved her in the Lord. And they labored together. Now, we're not told whether they had any children, but we can be sure that if they did, they encouraged them in the ways of the Lord. But it didn't hinder them in the cause of Jesus Christ, to serve the Lord. Make Christ's service your aim, whatever your circumstance then in life. We take this example from Priscilla and Aquila, that they labored for Christ. They were united to Christ, and they sought deeper union with the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a united couple. But the third thing we notice about them is that they were a working couple. They were very diligent, even in their occupation as tent makers. It's very possible that Aquila had come down from Pontus and, as a tent maker, had established businesses in different cities, in Rome, in Corinth. We find him later on in Ephesus. And in every place, they were so diligent. And no doubt they used their means as the Lord blessed them and increased their substance. They wanted to be a blessing to Paul and to the cause of the gospel. Certainly we find that they were very hospitable. The churches were often in their house. This is interesting here in Romans 16. We find that the church is in their house. And again, every time they're mentioned, there is a church in the house. They were hospitable, welcoming people. And this, of course, was the nature of the early church. It was in houses that people met. And Priscilla and Aquila laid all their earthly goods at the disposal of the Lord. We find them then in Corinth. And in Acts 18, we also discover that they went with the Apostle Paul. When he was wanting to go on to Ephesus, he took with him Priscilla and Aquila. They went with him. They uprooted again in verse 18 of chapter 18. He took with them Priscilla and Aquila, and he came to Ephesus in verse 21. He sailed to Ephesus, and he left them there, and they were, could be trusted. He could believe that they would build up the church, that they would be a blessing to God's people. They were a working couple. And not only did they move to Ephesus, but we discover that they, perhaps after the death of Claudius, they moved back to Rome. We discover, as Paul writes there in Romans 16, they're now back in Rome, and there is a church in their house. And then later on, we discover that they moved again from Rome and went back to Ephesus. Because when the Apostle Paul was coming to the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy and he mentions Priscilla and Aquila with Timothy back in Ephesus. And so material things did not hold them back from serving the Lord. It's sad to say that there are many Christians who are blessed with material wealth and possessions, and yet they seem to live their life for themselves. But Priscilla and Aquila were of a different kind. They realized that all the earthly goods that they had were not their own. They were lent to them for a time, and they would wholly surrender them unto the Lord. And is that our desire? To yield not only our lives, but our possessions at the disposal of the Lord. You remember the hymn, it goes like this: I would not with a swift winged zeal on the world's errands go, and labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. Oh, not for thee, my weak desires, my poorer, baser parts. Oh, not for thee, my fading fires, the ashes of my heart. In Romans 12, the apostle had said already, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Priscilla and Aquila lived as pilgrims here upon the earth. They were not seeking their own gain for their own pleasure, but they were seeking to be workers, fellow workers in the gospel. And all else was subservient to that one great aim. We sometimes say, don't we, to people when we discover that they're on holiday, they're visiting an area, people say to them, well, when are you going home? How long will it be before you go home? Well, in a sense, the Christian should be asking that every day. How long will it be before I go home? Where is my home? Priscilla and Aquila had an eternal home in heaven. They were looking for that city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. They were laborers together for a season, for the glory of the Lord. But this was not their home. They did not set their heart upon the things of earth, but they had a bright and glorious vision of a better country. They were a working couple, fellow workers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the fourth thing we notice is that they were a loving couple. And we mentioned this from verse 4 here in Romans 16, where the apostle says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. This was a couple who wanted to be a servant of the apostle Paul. They were not free spirits who drifted into Paul's life when it pleased them, who were not committed, who were not reliable. But such was their affection for the apostle Paul that they would risk their necks, literally on the block. Now, we're not told in the New Testament when they did this. And Paul's life was obviously under threat, and they were willing to step in and put their necks literally on the block for execution in order to save his life. They risked their own necks. Such was their love for the apostle. They were willing to bear great inconvenience. They risked their reputation. But what a picture this gives us of their heart of love for the minister of the gospel in their midst. They were willing to do all that they could to save him, to help him, to be a blessing to him, to be an encouragement to him. They were willing, even if it was a detriment to them, in order to support and to strengthen the work of the gospel. Now, it's likely that in Corinth, there was an insurrection of the Jews, as we read, and it was at the time that we read of when Gallio was brought to the judgment seat, and the Jews were there claiming all kinds of things against the Apostle Paul. It's very possible that that was the occasion when they rescued Paul. He would have been killed by the mob, but they rescued him. And to their own cost in some way. But they loved the Lord, and they loved the servants of the Lord, and they loved the souls of the people. And we notice that also their love for souls in Acts 18 in the matter of Apollos. We read there, didn't we, in Acts 18, verse 26, Apollos came, beginning to speak boldly. But then Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard, they took him unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They didn't collar Apollos at the door of the church or the door of the house and say, Apollos, you're in error, and embarrass him in front of others. They took him aside. They took him quietly aside and spoke unto him, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Well, it reminds us then of their love for the cause of Jesus Christ. What is the state of our love for the Church of Jesus Christ? Are we concerned if error is being taught, to do everything we can to stamp it out, to correct it, but in a gracious and loving manner? Well, they were not ashamed of Jesus Christ. They would own him publicly. They were not ashamed to have Christians in their house, to have a church in their house. They didn't bear any grudges, bitterness, or hostility to the people of God. They loved them. And despite all of the challenges that they went through, they demonstrated their love in practical ways, both to the Apostle Paul, to Apollos, and to all the church of Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 4 of Romans 16, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All the churches. Surely they had heard of Priscilla and Aquila. They had seen the labor of Priscilla and Aquila in their midst, from place to place, from church to church. Nothing was too much for them. They were willing to serve unto the end because they tasted of the love of Christ. He changed their lives, and so they longed and yearned to serve him without fear, but in love. Well, lastly, this morning, and very briefly, they were a valued couple. They were helpers in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul affectionately calls them my helpers. He valued them. They were a blessing personally to him. They succored him. They strengthened him. They loved him. And how important it is for us to love the servants of the Lord, whom the Lord has set in our midst, whom he has appointed to serve us in the ministry of his word. How precious they are. How valued they should be. How we should do everything we can to avoid disappointing them or discouraging them or grieving them. You remember the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, he reminded them that they would have plucked out their eyes and given their eyes to the Apostle Paul because he had some eye complaint. Such was their love for the Apostle. They would have done it. But such should be our love for the servants of the Lord. My helpers. Is that what your pastor can say about you? That you are always present? That you encourage him? That you strengthen his hands in the work of the Lord? There at Friston, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Priscilla and Aquila were a valued couple. They attended the ministry. They were a support practically, financially. They appreciated the ministry. They were a praying couple. They saw it as their solemn responsibility to pray for the minister and recognized that Paul would say, who is sufficient for these things, that he was but an earthen vessel. It's of the Lord any blessing that came from the ministry. And so they would support him in prayer and they would give sacrificially to the work of the gospel. They were a profitable couple. They were able in every situation, it seems, to be a blessing to the church. They had an evangelistic heart. They had a desire to do personal work with people, to get to know people, to be a soul winner, to strengthen the hands of the believers, and to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Well, it's a challenge to us, isn't it? Here's an example this morning of a couple who were so unselfish, who set such a godly example, and they picture for us what we should be like as Christian believers, to be helpers. We might think at the end of our life, what will people think of me? What will be the epitaph that could be written beside my name? What would the Apostle Paul make of us? What would he say about our Christian service? Would he put us in this coveted group who were called his helpers, his fellow workers? Well, are we helpers this morning? Are we laborers together? What is our example? Are we those who are interested in winning souls for Jesus Christ? Well, may we be fellow workers. Priscilla and Aquila had a holy jealousy for the glory of Jesus Christ, and they served the Lord with all their heart. They were sinners. They needed the Apostle Paul's instruction and correction. But oh, how he valued them. Oh, how he treasured them. And how he thanked God for them. And how all the churches of the Gentiles rejoiced at their example. Well, may the Lord, by his grace, quicken our step and help us to serve him and be useful in his cause for his glory. Amen.